It's Big at the Bag over, defensive dilemmas dissected as we discuss injuries, suspensions and rotation ahead of the final game week before the blank. Hello and welcome to the latest FPL pod. It is Thursday the 13th at the point of recording and the big news is Julien Laurent finally wildcarded.
Woohoo!
Before we go any further, Jules, how did it go?
No, hang on, George. You didn't wait all this time and it went badly, did you?
You always said that you'd play your wild card, not just for that week where you play it, but, you know, for the longer term. So for once in my life, I planned. Got 51 points this week, which is...
51 points?
Listen, it's outrageous. My team was so good. I deserved at least 150, but they missed chances. They considered like stupid goals, but I'm still very happy with the team.
Okay, we'll talk through just who you picked on that rather disappointing wild card. Us and all the listeners have been waiting for weeks. We'll talk through that in just a few moments because that has set the tone and I think we probably should say hello to our guests for this week. Oh, quickly though, actually, Sam Bonfield's back with us again. Hi, Sam.
Hiya, Kelly.
I hadn't forgotten about you then, I promise, but everyone had heard your voice. Everyone knows your voice
by now.
Whereas our guest, who probably wants to run a mile after that introduction, I've got to be honest, before she does just that, let's say a big hello to the former professional tennis player, Anna Fitzpatrick. Anna, I'm sorry, but this is what we do on this podcast. Mainly, we all come for Jules.
Do you know what? It's so brilliant to be here. I've been asked to do a couple of podcasts before. I've always kind of made an excuse, but there was not a chance that I was going to turn down the FPL pod. So I'm really delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're really excited to have you here as well. We speak to a lot of ex-professional footballers, so it's really exciting to speak to someone from a different sport. When did you first start playing FPL?
So I came to FPL quite late, actually. I started the year that Sheffield United got promoted to the Premier League. So I had a
John Lundstrom, did you
there.
Have him?
I had Lord Lundstrom from day one.
Yes, of course I did.
I was loyal. I was very loyal. And Ramsdale at the time as well. So I came to it quite late. I'm actually now a performance analysis lecturer at university. So my job kind of lends itself to the data side of the game. So I'm totally invested now. Sheffield United are long gone from the Premier League, although hopefully soon to be back. We're doing okay this season. Absolutely loving the game and I'm obsessed.
Brilliant. Well, you are very welcome along to the podcast and we love anyone who's obsessed with FPL on here. Tell us how your season's been going so far.
So it's going okay. I think now I'm around 600,000 mark. It didn't start great. I went Kane over Haaland in game week one, which sort of backfired, and then sold him. And Kane's been doing great. Haaland's obviously done phenomenally as well. I had a few good weeks in the middle, but I then went heavy on Brighton players and ended up having to play my wild card quite early because they had two blank game weeks in a row. I've been steadily climbing since then. Jules, you've made me feel a lot better because I got 59 this week.
I thought
that was dreadful.
You did make some dodgy choices.
Anna's going to fit in well here with this savage comment at you, Jules.
So it's going okay, but I feel like it's been a frustrating season with, you know, particularly with injuries recently and the blanks for particularly for Brighton in my case. It's been sort of fighting fires rather than looking for where the next points are going to come from.
I'm just taking a look at your team right now and having looked at Jules' wildcard team, which we'll tell people about in just a few moments.
Why are you smiling?
Your team looks pretty strong because I'd rather have Anna's team over yours.
Oh.
This is Anna's team. Pope, Perisic, Cancelo, James, Trippier, Williams. In midfield, De Bruyne, Zaha, Madison, Haaland, Tony. And on the bench last week, Mitrovic, of course, he was injured. Andreas, oh gosh, a few of us fell victim to putting Andreas Pereira on their bench and Leon Bailey alongside Danny Ward. That's a pretty good team, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, that sounds quite nice. I mean, that's a team that you can tell was wildcarded a few weeks ago, but was wildcarded into a good team that have played well over the last few weeks. So, you know, there are a couple of players in there maybe that you might want to think about changing out now because of fixture swings and what have you. But actually, as we saw from players like Andreas Pereira, if your bench is good, then you've got plenty of flexibility around that squad. So that seems quite good to me.
Come on then, Jules, before we recap game week 10, everyone is dying to know who made the cut on that wild card. Anna, just for some context, Jules has been saying since about game week 2 that he was going to wild card.
Me and Anna, we speak the same language, you know, because we are high performance guys. So I was always thinking about things. I tried to be a bit clever, as you know me now. So for example, Sergio Gomez, I thought was a great choice. He's cheap. is going to play with City because
just tell
of
us who's in.
Injuries.
Don't give us your rubbish justification.
So Fabianski in goal, who was so unlucky to concede that freak of a goal from Andreas Pereira, and also he's my boy. So you know that there was a bit of a you know in here. Trippier, Diogo Dalot, who I thought would have a really good game against Everton. Not so much the case. Reece James, who obviously didn't start and then came on. We don't know why. We still don't know why he brought him in for 15 minutes. Sergio Gomez, even worse. Madison, Zaha and the Paquet, Lucas Paqueta in midfield. Eight points.
Couldn't not put him in, could you, after
last week?
At least
you backed yourself on that.
Exactly, of course. Listen, Anna, if you're thinking about a midfielder, the Paquet is the guy for you. Lucas Paqueta, 8 points he had this week. My highest performance player. And he could even have been better because he created chances, almost scored, should have scored. So I was glad with the Paquet. And then Kane, Haaland and Jesus, that didn't change up front. And on my bench, I've got Aaron Ramsdale. Again, he's my boy. Trossard, who I thought would not return against Spurs. And I was right. Andreas, who I was hoping would not do anything, but I was wrong. And then Conor Cody. Don't ask me why. I can't even remember why I put Conor Cody in there. Doesn't make any sense. But yeah, here he is.
Okay, not too bad, not too bad.
I was really unlucky, I swear.
Oh, you're always really unlucky. You know what it was, Jules? Not enough number sevens in your defence. That was your problem last week. My team actually had a really good week. I got 75 last week, so that was another massive green arrow. So I think I'm ahead of you by quite a long way now, Jules, after the
Everybody
last
is,
couple
I think.
Weeks.
I'm like...
But yeah, no, it was a good week last week. It's still a really annoying one, though. Like, I feel the pain of Andreas Pereira on the bench. I also had Aronson from Leeds on my bench as well. It's so frustrating. I played them both last week. Neither of them returned. Put them both on the bench this week. Both of them returned. So I was really hoping, like you, Jules, actually, at that point, that Reece James just stayed on the bench because then one of them comes off and things feel a lot better. But yeah, 75, I'll absolutely take that. Moving in the right direction.
Yeah, last week was a bit of a frustrating one in terms of injuries. Andreas Pereira is the main frustration for me because, like Anna and Jules, I just did not expect him to return. Plenty of talking points, which we'll come on to in the rest of the podcast. But Jules, very quickly, as we know, you're Mr. Champions League. You've been in on your goals show on Tuesday and Wednesday once again. What are the takeaways we need to bear in mind from those games from an FPL point of view?
Well, the bad news for all the Reece James owner is that little injury because it doesn't seem to be serious that he picked up in Milan is supposed to, I think, will be out for maybe 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, just not to take any risk, of course. So I think if you have him, then start already thinking about what you do this weekend. Then we saw Mo Salah and Liverpool in general, but Mo Salah especially outstanding, a hat-trick in 6 minutes away at Rangers, which again, for our game, it's not so good because I think we've all decided maybe not to count on him anymore for a little bit. And now he's clearly, that form that he showed against Rangers is outstanding. So there might be a few question marks over do we get Salah back in at some point or not and when we do that. We saw a very good Spurs performance again and for Frankfurt, although they conceded 2 goals, but still Kane and Son, that partnership seems to be back to his best. And no Perisic, by the way, which might be an indication that he will start this weekend. So again, a lot of good things to take away from the Champions League midweek games.
Yeah, we do have to talk a little bit more about Liverpool, Anna, because that second half last night I was watching, I'm not sure if you were, it was absolutely stunning. Mo Salah with a hat-trick in just over 6 minutes from the bench. Where do you sit on the Salah debate this season? I notice he's not in your team at the moment. Have you had him? Are you looking to bring him back in?
I did start with Salah, and I think I'm a little premature saying I'll bring him back in now. I haven't made my changes yet this week, and he's certainly in the frame, but I'll maybe give it an extra game week just to be 100% sure that he's fully back and it wasn't a flash in the pan. I know it's Mo Salah, it sounds ridiculous saying flash in the pan, doesn't it? But to be fair, I'm also looking closely at Firmino because he's the one that's really, you know, been on a roll for a few weeks now. And even though Liverpool as a team haven't been doing that well, not particularly keeping many clean sheets and things, but I think Firmino has been the player for me that sort of stood out numbers wise. So I've got a close eye on him this week.
Firmino is an interesting one. I was thinking as I was watching that Liverpool game, oh, we're going to be talking about him on tomorrow's podcast. And then Mo Salah comes on and scores a hat trick. And all of a sudden, do we have decisions to be made or do we need to see this these performances over a longer term?
Well, I think the thing is right now for us in FPL, we're at this kind of really important point of the season where obviously we've got game week 11 this weekend, and then we go straight into game week 12 in the middle of the week next week, and a game week 12 without Manchester City and without Arsenal. So I think what we have is the opportunity this weekend to just watch Liverpool play against Manchester City and then make moves for them for those midweek fixtures where we're at a point where maybe our teams have got a lot of Man City or a lot of Arsenal that we need to move out. And Firmino, I think for me, is the standout Liverpool player right now. He's performing so much better than anyone else across that team. He's kind of dragging them, it feels like, in the beginnings of games through the game and really kind of spurring them on. And his little smile is contagious, isn't it? Like, you can see the kind of infectiousness kind of spread around the others, and it feels better. And I think the key injuries to players like Diaz, to players like Trent, they need these kind of characters to drag them through. And Salah was really interesting for me in the Champions League. The first goal, barely celebrated, barely raised a smile. Mm-hmm. By the time he got the third, we were just starting to see a little hint of that kind of happy Egyptian king that we all love so much in FPL in the seasons that we've had over the past couple of years. So definitely watching them against Man City. I'm not making any moves for Liverpool players this weekend. But going into that West Ham game in game week 12, and I think you have to be starting to think about, is there a Liverpool player? Because we're all going to need a captain for game week 12, right? So let's see if this Champions League form can come through into the Premier League as well.
Yeah, that'll certainly give us some decisions to make, won't it? And we've also got decisions this week because of injuries. We've already touched upon a couple of them there. Firstly, let's discuss Liverpool, because as exciting as it might be to have Mo Salah and Roberto Firmino coming back to form, a few injury concerns for Jurgen Klopp. The last thing he needed, Jules. Firstly, Trent Alexander-Arnold going off at halftime against Arsenal. He's already had pretty patchy form. Mm. Is now the time to sell?
I think it is. I think, again, we look at 2 to 3 weeks maybe for his absence to sort of make sure that that ankle that got injured in the challenge with Martinelli is fine. And again, see how well Joe Gomez played in that Rangers game, and his assist for Firmino's goal was like very Trent-esque, if you want. You know, maybe there's no need even for Klopp to kind of try to rush back Trent in the team. Gomez brings something quite different to Trent that might suit Liverpool right now, by the way. So Trent is one. Matip is another one, of course. That should be the same length of time as Trent out. And then Luis Diaz, unfortunately for him, is a bit more serious. So I don't think we see him until the new year now. Or maybe after the World Cup, certainly after the World Cup, but maybe just that game late in December. But again, I don't think they would take any risk.
Okay then, Sam, there's going to be a lot of people wondering who they should bring in for either of those players. Firstly, replacements for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Who would you be considering?
I mean, I think the great thing about replacing Trent Alexander-Arnold is you can literally have any defender in the game. You can afford them all because he's the most expensive. So in terms of making decisions, you're not, you know, restricted by price points or anything like that. So for me, what I always like to do is just look at the underlying stats and see which players are kind of standing out. And there's a number of areas that for me are the kind of key ones. So 10 game weeks into the season, I like to look for returns. How many returns have they had over the course of the season, be that attacking ones or defensive ones? Cancelo's at the top, but I don't think you're bringing him in this week if you don't already own him. And then you've got popular picks up top like Trippier, like Saliba. But again, Saliba doesn't play in midweek next week, so probably avoiding him. And Perisic feels like a rotation. So it's the players under those that are really interesting for me. Eric Dier's up there with 5 returns so far this season. Nice and cheap, and Spurs fixtures are nice. They should have some clean sheet potential coming. He's also on some set pieces and gets up there when he's not on the set piece himself, you know, for corners. So headed potential there. If you want to go for a bit of a differential over Kieran Trippier, then Fabian Schär is also up there with 5 returns so far this season. And then we've got players like Chilwell, the lesser discussed Chilwell, because everyone always flocks to Reece James. It feels like he's the kind of go-to. But if you look on the other side of that Chelsea defence, you've got Chilwell, who's doing really well every time he starts. He's got more points per game than anyone else at Chelsea. I mean, he hasn't started as many, but for me, he's an interesting one. I like to look at those kind of stats just in terms of who's returned and then start to drill down a little bit deeper into the attempts that they've had and the big chances. So Anderson at Crystal Palace is top for big chances so far this season of the defenders, makes a really nice, interesting differential pick alongside really nice fixtures for Crystal Palace. You've got Nico Williams top for attempts on goal. Ryan Sessegnon's right up there as well. So there are a load of kind of cheaper options. And I think that's the take for me, is that if I was a Trent Alexander-Arnold owner right now, I'd be looking to go right down to somebody in the 4.5 bracket and bring in one of those guys, because the underlying stats for them look really nice right now.
What about Luis Diaz then, Anna? Because I actually sold him last week, but he's been really popular. He's been a slightly cheaper way into the Liverpool midfield for those owners who have sold Mo Salah recently. And the 8 million price bracket, there's some quite interesting options. I notice you've got a couple of them already in Wilfred Zaha and James Maddison.
Yeah, so I actually started the season with Luis Diaz as well, and he did really well for the first few weeks, you know, even when Salah wasn't returning. So that worked out pretty well. I think I dropped him when I wildcarded. But you're right, I've got Maddison at the minute. I've got Zaha, who only got an assist last week in comparison to Bowen. But, you know, there are others. I'm looking potentially at bringing in Bowen actually this week, if not Son. I know he's obviously a lot more expensive, not in that £8 million bracket, but it would mean selling De Bruyne to bring in Son. But there are some really interesting picks. I'm possibly looking at a short-term pick at the minute, just for a two-weeker, maybe a Bowen, maybe even someone like a Bruno Guimarães for Newcastle, who looked really good in their last game, and he's starting to play that little bit further forward again. And then possibly to move on to Foden as that third Man City player on top of Cancelo and Haaland.
And for Foden, which is a really good chance, and he's in great form, as we saw, obviously, against United and etc. Didn't play against Copenhagen in midweek in the Champions League, like Haaland, by the way, which means that, well, it doesn't mean anything with Pep, but he should be starting against Liverpool at the weekend if you're thinking about bringing him in your team, or if you have him in your team already.
Do have to be careful though, Jules, don't we? Because, of course, they've got the blank next week.
That's true.
Okay, moving on to some of the other injury concerns. I know that everyone that owned Alexander Mitrovic, Anna, you were one of those. I noticed he was an automatic sub. You popped him in your team in the hope that he started at West Ham, as so many managers did. He wasn't in the squad at all. Definitely worth keeping an eye on Marco Silva's pre-match press conference on Friday. But it didn't sound overly optimistic. What are you planning on doing with him?
I'm going to wait for that press conference without a doubt. I don't want to pull the trigger before I've got as much information as I possibly can. I know it's a Friday deadline this week, so I'll be keeping a close eye on that. At the minute, I think I've possibly got other fires to put out on my team. We talked earlier about Reece James and his injury. I'm probably looking at bringing in a defender as a priority over replacing Mitrovic, because his fixtures just look so good that when he does come back, I can see him hauling quite soon.
Yeah, Sam, would you say the same to Mitrovic owners? Just sit tight for a bit. Just wait and see what's going to happen. And as you mentioned before, if you've got a good bench, that makes delaying that decision a little bit easier.
I think for sure, if you've bought in Mitrovic, particularly in recent weeks, then you've bought him in for the fixtures that he's currently got. So you would hope that he's not going to be out for too much longer. I mean, he faced a late fitness test for game week 10. Hopefully he'll be available for game week 11. But if he's not, then hopefully you've got a good chance of getting him available for game week 12, which is when we're all going to need these players, because, of course, that's the blank for Manchester City and Arsenal. So I think it's probably likely that if you've got Mitrovic, you've also got bigger issues of players that are more likely not to start in game week 12, or definitely won't start if they play for Arsenal and Manchester City. So yeah, for me, it would be a hold on Mitrovic. I think there are some options you can look at. I mean, we talked about Callum Wilson a couple of weeks ago. The Newcastle fixtures are nice. So if you do want to move away from Mitrovic, then you could start having a look at players like Wilson. They offer good potential, but I don't think you necessarily need to sell Mitrovic. And I'd want to wait and just see what Silva's got to say first.
Anthony Martial, Jules, your boy at the beginning of the season, you were so excited about him. Then he got injured before game week one, came back, lots of interest, lots of people watching him keenly last weekend at Everton, off inside 30 minutes with a back injury. He just can't get a break, can he?
No, it's really sad for him, because I think he had really high hopes and ambitions for the season, working so well with Ten Hag in pre-season and being such a Ten Hag player, as we've explained before. And every time he's played, to be fair, he's done well. He scored in the derby when the game was lost already, but still that brought him momentum. He was good in Europe, in the Europa League, when they went away to Cyprus to play against Omonia. Then the assist for Anthony, which was the perfect weight on the ball, everything against Everton, and then the injury again, which is a real shame because I think it would have been a very interesting differential going forward now for United had he stayed fit. We're not really sure exactly when he's coming back, and again, you would fear another setback not long after. There's another player that I think we should keep an eye on. I don't know what I've got with West Ham players right now, but Scamacca has been really impressive.
Wasn't he great in game week 10?
Yeah, he was really amazing. Really he was good. Maybe a bit lucky on the goal that he scored, but this is not his choice to allow the goal or not anyway. But everything he does, his movements, his finishing, and he's great. He's only owned by 1.8% of the managers. I think he costs you 6.7 million, which is not a lot at all when you're looking at all the options that you have for your forwards. And even if I think they would play United the next game, but first they've got Southampton, then I think they will have also Bournemouth maybe playing in between, another tough team like Spurs maybe. So not all easy fixtures for West Ham and Scamacca, but certainly two of the next four are very decent games for him to return and score. So again, you know how much I love the packet, but the Scam is pretty good as well. My holy trinity up front, Jesus, Kane and Haaland is so good. But I will have to do without Haaland and Jesus for game week 12. And I think Scamacca is definitely an option for that.
Jules, are you still going by this, I won't own more than two attacking players in one team?
Considering how bad my season is going so far, maybe that was not the wisest idea that I've had. So...
The West Ham boys might be changing your mind.
Yeah, actually, on your wild card, you stuck with it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have. You've got Leicester, Palace, West Ham, Spurs, City, Arsenal.
This is the
Brighton,
way forward.
Fulham.
And no number seven at the back. This is not possible.
Interesting.
Highest point scorer last week he was, Jules.
I know.
Highest
I was livid.
Scorer.
I was watching, cursing
him. I thought
of
you at the time. I thought of you.
Yeah. No, I suppose.
We've already talked Champions League. Before we move on, we do have to talk about the mixed injury news we got in midweek in terms of there was a few concerns over Harry Kane at the end of Spurs' match at the weekend against Brighton. He was taken off in the final minute with a knock. So everyone was checking to see if he was okay last night. He's fine, isn't he, Sam?
He's fine. Of course he's fine. He's got a World Cup to play in a few weeks' time. Yeah, I mean, I did feel like it was a bit precautionary for Conte. I think he watched him. We were right at the end of that game against Brighton. And I think it was like, right, come off. Let's just make sure that everything's okay. I mean, he did a lot of posting on social media with the launch of his foundation last week. And there was nothing negative coming out. And then, of course, scores one penalty and then takes the worst penalty I've ever seen Harry Kane take for the second one that he got. I don't think he'll ever take a penalty like that one again. But yeah, he's fine. So that's one less injury issue for FPL managers to contend with this week.
We needed that, actually, because this injury section has been depressingly long, hasn't it, really? Reece James was the bad news from the midweek Champions League fixtures. We've already touched upon him a little bit. Anna, what are your plans on what you're going to do with Reece James?
So I think that he's the most likely player to come out of my team this week. I think I'm looking to sell him potentially if I don't hold the transfer and roll it over. I quite like the look of Wolves' fixtures moving forward from between now and the World Cup. Possibly looking at Johnny to replace Reece James. I like his attacking threat. He seems nailed in that team. I think he's consistently starting this season. And I just think that I think Wolves have four of their next six fixtures at home between now and the World Cup, which I think will boost their chances of keeping the odd clean sheet here or there. So I'm looking at bringing in Johnny for Reece James this week.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because I think Wolves, I mean, in seasons gone by, they've been so, so solid defensively and they've been a team that we've really looked at investing in. This season, although they haven't been playing that well, defensively, their numbers are still good. So I think they are a team that you can invest in if you're aiming for the six pointers. I just wonder whether there are other players, you know, we all have a go at Jules a lot on this podcast, but Connor Cody, I actually think he's a great shout. James Tarkowski, I think he's a great shout. You know, I think that they've got the potential for clean sheets in the next few weeks, as well as some attacking threat. And I worry that with the Wolves boys, that you might get the clean sheets because that's the kind of system that they're setting up. But I don't know that they're extending and the ceiling of points is, I think, smaller for the Wolves assets at the back than it is for maybe the likes of Cody, Tarkowski, or some of those slightly more attacking defenders that we see in the other teams across the league.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it feels like defence has dominated a lot of this podcast because players like Reece James and Trent Alexander-Arnold, who we also desperately wanted and we thought were going to be mainstays in our teams, now aren't going to be playing, potentially have injuries that are going to keep them out. And all of the suggestions, Sam, that you keep giving us aren't in that premium price bracket. In the last few seasons, we've seen us all wanting to go big at the back. Do you think that is now over?
Yeah, at the moment, I do think it is. And I think between now and the World Cup, we can afford to take a few more kind of gambles, if you want, and bring in a few more players that aren't these premium defenders that we all normally want to invest in. I mean, I guess in part that's because of game week 12 and the fact that Manchester City don't play in game week 12. But when you look across the defenders that are performing really well so far this season, with the exception of Cancelo, we just don't have the heavy hitters. And when we look at what happened in game week 10, Cancelo was the only one of the premiums, of the ones that are over 6 million that really returned good points. And when you look under the 6 million, then we start to see some returns from Trippier, from Koulibaly at Chelsea. But we're not seeing these regular hauls from the expensive premium defenders, because normally what we would look for is an attacking return and a defensive one. And what we seem to get with the premiums at the moment, if they return, is one or the other, with the exception of Cancelo this week, of course. So for me, I would be looking to just take that money away, because when we look in the 4.5, 5, even up to 5.5 bracket, there's so much great value for money and teams with fantastic fixtures that you could target both attacking returns and defensive ones.
That's what you did on your wildcard, wasn't it, Jules? I'm looking at it. And other than Reece James, you actually went for the cheaper budget defenders, and some you're looking at the likes of Everton with Connor Cody. It's almost like you've been working with Sam for a few months now, and some of her advice has kind of paid off with you.
I try to be clever. But yeah, and Diogo Dalot, I know United have quite tough games coming up with Newcastle and then Spurs and Chelsea. So all the three are big games, even if two of them are Old Trafford. But I think he's got so much value to bring, Diogo Dalot, in the way he plays going forward. I mean, especially they might concede, but he can also return in terms of assist and maybe even bonus points, because he's so involved in what Ten Hag wants to do at that club. I thought Sergio Gomez was such a great shot for the Southampton game. Not my best moment in my career, but still, I agree with Sam. You've got some really interesting defenders. We mentioned Anderson last week, and Sam did it already. And some of the Crystal Palace defenders, Gehi too, Tarek Mitchell, for example, left back. And I think there's a lot of good choices to make that would not cost you too much money.
Well, you've still got Cancelo, Anna. What are your plans on doing with him? Because it's Liverpool this weekend and then the blank the following weekend. Personally, I'm planning on wildcarding for game week 13, so I'll probably get rid of Cancelo. But as someone that's used their wildcard already, what do you plan on doing with him?
So I think I'm going to hold Cancelo. Liverpool away in the blank is not ideal, but I can see him returning against Liverpool, with their sort of leaky defence this season so far. So I'm going to hold him. I'm going to hold him and Haaland. But I agree with Sam. I think that, looking for those cheaper defenders, not having such a strong back line, also allows us to spend that money. There are some really strong, as we talked about before, 8 million sort of region midfielders and some forwards who are doing better this year now. And I think it just frees up that budget to spread it around and further up the field. So definitely for me, Cancelo's a hold. But outside of Cancelo, I talked about downgrading Reece James to maybe a Johnny or an Eric Dier, just to allow me that extra budget for the midfield.
Okay, so there seems to be a bit of a consensus amongst us that potentially it's time now to downgrade those defenders. So we thought we'd just check that it's not just us that thinks that. We asked a few FPL experts their thoughts.
Hi everyone, Lee here from FPL Family, and I don't think big at the back is dead, but it might be on the way out, with João Cancelo getting that 18-pointer last week. I'll be keeping him for a little while, but he does blank in game week 12, and I think I trust necessarily that Liverpool defence right now, so I don't think I'd be going to Trent or Robertson, given that Robertson returned to action in the Rangers game in the Champions League the other night. And of course, Reece James, we've got to wait to see what the diagnosis is on his injury. So it could be that we start taking some of that money out of defence and moving it into midfield and forward.
Hi, this is Gianni. Wow, big at the back. I mean, the start of the season, we're all going there. But look, the premiums haven't all delivered. We've now got a lot of flags on a lot of good players, and we're looking to allocate our funds elsewhere. So I do think Big at the Back for the time being is dead. It's a shame when we're banking on these 4.5 million assets that we need to bring in at the back. They're probably not the most reliable. You know, I'm looking at teams with good fixtures and good centre-back options, the likes of Newcastle and West Ham and maybe Crystal Palace. But these guys are still conceding one goal a game. Like, they're not consistently delivering clean sheets. But I think we still have to take a chance on them.
Hi everyone, Az here. It looks like Trent's out for a few weeks and Reece James might be in the same situation. I think that confirms the end of Big at the Back. It's really hard to know what to do with those two, apart from shifting them to cheaper defenders and freeing up some funds. Trippier, if you haven't got him, is probably the standout. I quite like the look of Cucurella or maybe Dyer, but they're not the most exciting options. I think the best thing to do might be to go down to a really cheap option like a Crystal Palace defender and free up some cash for the better options in midfield and up front.
So Sam, overall, we're very much saying to those managers who are bringing in Cancelo, at the time of recording, he's the third most transferred in. Just be careful.
Yeah, I think if you want to bring him in and look, beyond game week 12, the fixtures for Manchester City are fantastic right the way through to the World Cup. So if you don't own him on the back of his 18 points last week and you want to bring him in because you want him after game week 12, and importantly, you have a squad that you can utilise in game week 12 and bench him for, then I can absolutely see the value in it. But be careful, because you are bringing in a player that you know isn't going to play in game week 12. And for the likes of people like me, I had a strategy and a plan for game week 12. The injury to Reece James has already put massive strain on that now, because suddenly I'm potentially another player down in terms of one who won't play in game week 12. So just be careful. Transferring in players that you know won't play could backfire on you. It's possibly better to wait until after game week 12 to bring in these Manchester City assets.
Okay, so we've got injuries. We've also got the fact there's a blank game week on the horizon. We've also, I should tell you at this point, got some suspensions. Anthony Gordon and Scott McTominay picked up their fifth yellows of the season. They now join Nathaniel Chalobah, Emerson Royale and Nathan Collins on the suspended list for game week 11. So what else do we need to make things even trickier? Rotation. Step up, Mr. Graham Potter. We saw it a lot at Brighton, didn't we? But it's a particular issue, Jules. Now he's at Chelsea. Last weekend, benched Reece James, Ben Chilwell, Raheem Sterling, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Edouard Mendy. Wow, we could do without this, couldn't we?
You're right, we could. it was a particular game because it was in the middle of two huge matches for Chelsea in the Champions League against Milan, home and away. And there's no Champions League next week. So I think if you own some of those players at Chelsea, you can, I think, trust a little bit more, maybe Graham Potter, not to rotate as much because they, you know, they there's not, even if there is a Premier League midweek run of games, it's not a clutch Champions League match away in Italy, for example. So I think he will less rotate. You could still see, I think, some changes like a Thiago Silva, for example, or some of the players who he's played quite a lot. I think Mason Mount is in great form, maybe the best form, his best form in a long time. But he's also played a lot, so it might not be surprising to see Mount on the bench this weekend to come back. It's Aston Villa away. No offense to Aston Villa, but they're not very good right now. So maybe Potter could think, I can rotate Mount and then bring him back in midweek next week with a view on the Champions League the week after, because Chelsea are almost there then. They're almost qualifying now. They need just a final push. But yeah, last week was a big, heavy, sort of Pep-esque kind of Graham Potter's move in terms of rotation.
Pep-esque. We've got two of them at it now, doing all these rotations that make things so much harder. Yeah, Mason Mount's an interesting one that Jules mentioned there, Anna, because he's kind of in that mid-midfielder price bracket. He's the only outfield player to have started every game under Potter. But do we have to be a bit wary that although that's quite exciting for us, it does mean, given Potter's tendency to move things around in his team, that he could be the next one to fall victim to that?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I semi-fell victim to that rotation last week. I've got Reece James, returned with a one-pointer, I think. I actually counted myself lucky because I nearly bought Ben Chilwell. I was really tempted to buy Chilwell, but he started three games in a row. So I did leave him out. I didn't get him. And thankfully was sort of rewarded for that, I feel, by him not starting. The other one-point wonder this season for me has been Perisic. he's hurt me a little bit. And, it, you know, if I was wildcarding now, I probably wouldn't have him. But I think Mount's a really interesting one, particularly how he sort of seems to have grown into the season a little bit. I wasn't really looking at him early on. But as you say, he's consistently starting and looks, in terms of being rotation proof, probably the most rotation proof at Chelsea at the minute. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not moving there just yet. I'll take another week or two, probably post game week 12. And then I'll be looking at decisions of whether to bring in Mount or whether to go Foden with Man City and their strong fixtures between game week 13 and the World Cup.
Sam, as Anna just said there, Antonio Conte isn't going to get away with not being mentioned in this section. Perisic and Richarlison both benched. Did you expect that? Do we have to be wary? Does that kind of mean that we have to avoid Spurs defence? Where are you at in terms of the Spurs one? Because I feel like if you are wary, then we should all be very wary.
The wing-back situation for me is a nightmare at Spurs because obviously we've got Royale, who's got two more suspended matches in the Premier League. Well, what does that mean Conte's going to do? Will he play Doherty like we saw him do in game week 10? And actually, I thought Matt Doherty had a fantastic game in that. He came back in, was brilliant, but then doesn't play in the Champions League because he plays Royale. Now, for me, that is potentially a sign that Doherty gets the start of the weekend because he's, you know, had the rest in the Champions League where Royale wasn't suspended. But on the other side of the pitch, the last two games in the Champions League on Wednesday evening and in the Premier League against Brighton, I thought Sessegnon was absolutely fantastic. He played really well in both of those games. And what happens when Sessegnon is on the pitch is we get the best of Heung-min Son. So Sonny has been fantastic in the last couple of games, so much better than he's been when Perisic is on the pitch, which leaves us as FPL managers in a massive quandary because will Conte kind of realise the benefit of not having Perisic there on Son and the more attacking threat that we get in that from that perspective? Or will he go back and play Perisic? Will Sessegnon be able to and be given three starts on the bounce? It is basically a minefield on those right and left wing back positions at Spurs. So if you want to invest in the Spurs defence, I am still all aboard the Eric Dier fan club. I think for me, he is the one I would go to. He's almost guaranteed to get the start. He's got attacking threat, as I mentioned earlier, although not as great as the wing backs, obviously. But you have some security with Eric Dier that you just will never get with the wing backs at Spurs because Conte's always got the potential to just switch them out for somebody else.
Cool, we've come up with so many defensive options if people do need replacements this week, haven't we? Talking of replacements, as always, we're going to end on transfers and captains. And Sam, quickly, with the blank, just one game week away, can managers really this week bring in who they want for this week? Or does it have to, more than ever, be a forward planning move?
Yeah, well, for me, this is actually where I am right now. There is a lot of players that I would really like to bring in for this week, but I'm not going to do any of them because I feel like I need to hold my transfers. I need to allow myself to be in the best place possible for game week 12. We might see some rotation around the midweek games because if we're going to get rotation, as we've just talked about, it tends to happen in the midweek fixtures more than any other. So I think we just need to be mindful of that. Yes, absolutely. You can kind of take the ball by the horns and invest in whoever you want for game week 11, but know that that might cause you some issues in game week 12. So a little bit of caution and a little bit of kind of paying attention to press conferences, paying careful attention to the fixtures in game week 11 and game week 12 because of the quick turnaround between the two is so important, and maybe sacrificing the player you want this week in order to have two better squads going into the next two fixtures is the way to go.
I remember a midweek round a few years ago where I think I got about 28 points. I think it's probably my worst ever FPL game week. Jules, it makes your 51 points look mammoth, doesn't it?
Even if I ever had 28 points one day, I would never say it to the whole country and the whole world like you just did. But that was brave.
Sorry, it's 2 years ago. I've got really better since then. Honestly, I promise.
Still.
This is going to be played back to me for years to come
big
now,
time.
Isn't it? What are your plans transfer-wise?
I mean, as Sam explained so well in the last few shows as well, you know, I've got Haaland and Jesus that will not play in game week 12. So I'm already thinking about that. One will be sold and come back after potentially. The other one will be benched because I don't think you should sell both just because they're missing one game. So I'll see if I replace Reece James now, but I only have one transfer. So if I roll it on, it probably be better. And I just bench James for now and hope that he comes back maybe sooner than we expect or I'll have to think about that one through.
Also, a word on managers who maybe are looking ahead to next week and Arsenal and City blanking. Arsenal in particular, Jules, their fixture this weekend leads away. It's hard to sell the likes of Gabriel Jesus, Gabriel Martinelli and the like, isn't it, when they've got such a nice fixture?
Yeah, that's true. It's a fixture that, because of the way Leeds play as well, you know they will have chances and you know they will go for it, and this is going to be a very entertaining match. We've tried to give the advice of, because of that blank week for City and Arsenal, that you could not have three Arsenal players and three City players, and you had to maybe slowly kind of let them go and sell them and replace them. So I hope that some of the managers don't have too many of the City and Arsenal players, unless you play a free hit or you play your wild card at that time, like you are going to do, Kelly, at some point. It's going to be interesting, but yeah, it would be hard to let go, you know, your Arsenal players before that Leeds game. But I think unfortunately you have to, or certainly some of them.
Anna, what are you going to be doing if you've discussed there potentially getting rid of De Bruyne this week?
Yeah, it was something I was looking at. I mean, I don't have the headache of whether or not to sell any Arsenal players, because I sold them already. I sold Martinelli before the last game week, and that didn't turn out too well. Oh, yeah, that was a bitter pill to swallow. So I don't have that headache this week, but I'm exactly in the same place as Sam, where I'm so tempted to make transfers. I'm tempted to move De Bruyne to Son, or even save a few million and get Trossard for a couple of weeks or something. They've got nice fixtures. I think they've got Brentford next. It's really, really tempting to pull the trigger and make a transfer, but I'm trying my very, very best to hold off and roll the transfer so that I just have that bit more flexibility, an extra game week of information before next week, so we can start to just kind of assess, yes, who's done well this game week, what we do, whether I keep all three Man City players and bench them all. But at the minute, I'm risking not having a full team on the pitch because I've got three injuries in there. I've got Leon Bailey, I've got Reece James, and I've got Mitrovic. So I'm certainly going to struggle not to make the transfer this week with those three injuries. But I'm doing my best to hold off and roll it for now.
I tell you what, these injuries could not have come at a worse time, could they? And managers all across the world, Sam, are going to be having these same problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I am going to be praying every evening before bed that Reece James makes a miraculous recovery and is available for game week 12, because that would really help me out to have him around. I just, you know, I'm like you, Kelly, planning to wildcard ahead of game week 13. So as soon as that deadline passes in game week 12, it'll be active. I'll be bringing back my Arsenal and my Man City players. But there's a couple in there, the likes of Martinelli, the likes of Gabriel Jesus, who I never want to sell because they have so much value invested in them. So bringing them back is difficult. I need to keep them on my bench. That means I need to make sure that everyone else is working properly and can play, or at least is available to be selected, barring Potter and everybody else deciding to mess my team up and rotate their squad to the maximum. But, you know, I think there will be a lot of managers and a lot of really good experienced managers who look at game week 12 and think, right, I can't really have City and Arsenal players, but then look beyond game week 12. And this is the key. Look just beyond game week 12 at game week 13 through 16, up until the World Cup. The fixtures for Manchester City and for Arsenal are so good that you are going to want to be heavily invested in them. So if you don't have that wildcard luxury after game week 12, then you're going to need to find a way to keep these players in your team or spend massive amounts of points bringing them back in again after the blank. And that's not worth it either. So going into game week 12, if you have only got 10 players and to get 11, you have to sell out one of these big hitters who you know you want going forward, just go in with 10. I think for me, that would be the advice that I would give.
Okay, on to captaincy then. And before we discuss who we're going to give the armband to, I just wanted to read these quotes from Pep Guardiola on Erling Haaland. He finished the game against Southampton so, so tired, and he didn't recover well these last few days. Yesterday was not good. Today was a little bit better, but we decided not to take the risk. That is, of course, because Haaland started on the bench in the Champions League in midweek. So Jules, any concerns over him starting, and are you going to give him your armband?
100%. I got burned there before. I said I would never not captain him ever again in my whole life, and he's in all career in England, so he will have the armband.
Armband for you, Anna?
Absolutely, yeah. It'll take a real lot to tempt me away from Erling Haaland throughout the rest of the season. If he stays fit, he's pretty much nailed on captain every week.
Sam's making a face at me to say, unfortunately, I'm going to as well.
Honestly, Kelly, this week I'm so torn. I really, really want to captain Harry Kane. His record against Everton is ridiculously good. He's in great form. Spurs are finding their rhythm again, I hope anyway. But you just can't bet against Erling Haaland, can you? Because if you don't captain him, as Jules found out a couple of weeks ago, the hit that it gives you on your rank, even if you own him, it's just too painful. So even with the doubts on Haaland and Pep's comments, I'm still going to hand him the armband, even if I'm going to look longingly at Harry Kane, who, by the way, is paying on my birthday, guaranteed to bring me a massive birthday haul, isn't he? And I can't captain him.
Yeah.
Oh, so we've got another FPL pod birthday this weekend. Jules, we must not forget this on Monday.
No.
We've got Jules' birthday. And I've actually found out that we might be recording on my birthday later this season as well. A real birthday treat for me. I don't know how you two have got away with not actually recording on your birthday. Sam, which day is it?
It's on Saturday. So Kane is bound to score, isn't he? And bring me a nice little birthday present of three points for Spurs and some lovely FPL points to give me a green arrow.
Well, I hope so. Have a wonderful birthday. Anna, thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully you found it useful. We're very impressed with your team. That's one takeaway for sure.
Yeah. It's been a total pleasure to be a part of it. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Well, the best of luck for the rest of the season. Jules, as always, thank you. Where are you this weekend?
Spurs Everton on Saturday for some...
Oh, ready to watch Kane Hall, Jules.
If you could arrange that for her, that would be wonderful. Well, that is all from us today. We'll be back on Monday afternoon, Monday the 17th of October. There's no off the bench. It's us lot instead. That's because, of course, there are the midweek blank game week 12 fixtures. So we'll be previewing all of those. Your deadline is Friday this week at 6:30 p.m. UK time. Don't let the early one catch you out. When is it, Jules?
Friday at 6 p.m.
6:30.
Jules, come on. Although at least if you're early for deadline, it doesn't matter.
That was really mean of me because I could just tell he wasn't properly So just wanted to check that everyone was aware. Everyone is aware. 6:30 p.m. UK time. If you want to get your transfers done at 6, why not? A reminder as well, fantasy.premierleague.com is the place you should go in the meantime. I'll see you on Monday.